from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. In a survey by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America in 2017, more than half of participants said they knew a veteran who had died by suicide. And since 2001, more than 5,000 military personnel have died in combat. Those losses take a toll, and a new study from UC Irvine reveals that grief from the death of a military comrade in combat or by suicide can have serious impacts on veterans' mental health. And here with me to talk about this is the study's lead author, Pauline Lubin. She's policy analyst for the Institute for Veteran Policy at San Francisco-based Swords to Plowshares, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad to be here, and I've been really gratified by the interest in the study and the interest in the topic, because I think the more that we can focus on the various ways in which military service and combat service bears a toll on veterans, I think the more we can understand.
I'm with you. And I was actually emceeing, as I do every year, the Swords to Plowshares dinner that was just held on Thursday night. And I mentioned in my introductory remarks, as much as we hear about PTSD and we hear about depression and anxiety and other problems that result from those in combat or just those in the military in general, addictions, we don't hear a lot about grief. And yet this study that was done at Irvine pretty much shows that there's a lot that young combatants and non-combatants go through.
You know, you're right, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because, the good news is that we do focus on PTSD, and you know that we overlooked it largely in the wake of the Vietnam War. But now I say that grief may have the same status that PTSD did after Vietnam, which is largely overlooked. And PTSD is – I was listening to the radio today as people were talking about Veterans Day, and there was a lot of focus on PTSD. And we do even – we discuss the rates of suicide, and those are – that's devastating. But nobody really talks about the toll of these deaths on the people who served with the people who died. If you think about it, on Memorial Day, we focus on families. We focus on the parents, the spouse, the children. And there's this other family, the brotherhood, the tribe, the veterans who were there when someone died. And we
– comrades in arms.
We don't acknowledge their grief.
And comrades not in arms.
Yeah,
just comrades,
exactly,
period.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the grief can be extraordinarily overwhelming, not only related to combat death, but also maybe even to a greater extent to suicide, because of that sense of there's nothing I could do to help. I couldn't control it. So people often feel in the wake of a suicide.
Well, actually, if I can talk more about the study specifically.
Please.
So first of all, the study was both interviews. There was two components, an interview component where I interviewed 28 veterans from across the country who had lost comrades to combat and suicide. And there was an online survey component of people who had lost at least one comrade to either mode of death and asked us a series of questions measuring their level of grief when they thought about a particular person. And there were other measures on the in the survey. And what we found, what I found when I analyzed the content of the interviews is that, yes, suicide death is much less expected. It's unexpected. And so it's harder to accept. Combat death, death is intrinsic to war. Combat death is expected and consequently easier to accept in that context, or if a veteran thinks of their buddy's death as heroic. But the guilt and anger over the deaths in both cases still make them very hard to accept.
And some of this is survivor's guilt we're talking about, isn't it?
Some of it is survivor's guilt. Of course, there were a number of veterans who described if they had not switched places with somebody in a vehicle, or if only they felt like, oh, if only they had been there. But some of it was also anger at, of course, whoever killed their friend, whether it was suicide or combat. But there was also at times some anger at the decisions they felt higher-ups made that perhaps
the system
people in danger.
And the higher-up in command. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And this has really become, I think we can safely say, a public health issue, a major public health issue, isn't it?
Well, indeed. And I'm glad you brought that up, because actually my field of study is the public health effects of war. And, of course, mental health is a public health issue. Well-being is a public health issue. Grief, just like PTSD and the other mental health aspect outcomes that we focus on, affects well-being. It affects functioning. It can affect families. It affects communities. And so all of those things affect the population and consequently do affect public health. We have the – so when I want to tell talk a little bit about the evolution of the study also.
It was done at Irvine.
It was done at Irvine. I was a doctoral student there. And what I like about the story is that the idea really came from a veteran. I mean, he didn't say go do a study about this, but I was talking to a veteran of the 101st Airborne. I was speaking at a Veterans Day event at UCI because I was teaching a course called War and Public Health there. And he approached me and started talking about the high rates of combat death and suicide death in the 101st, and then started talking about the losses that he had experienced and his different responses and how his members of his unit responded. And as he's talking, as I said earlier, I'm thinking, I never hear anybody talk about this. And so I went home and I looked up some more information about the 101st, and then I looked for research on it. I found virtually nothing. There have been a couple of studies on prolonged grief in Vietnam vets done decades after the war. And the interesting thing about those studies and what's relevant is that those studies found that the prolonged and unacknowledged and unaddressed grief had health, mental health consequences, physical health, affected people's family dynamics. There was nothing on the toll of grief on the current post 9/11 vets. And nothing about having lost somebody to suicide. And so, again, it just seemed like if we can continue to add more to our knowledge of the toll of – and it's not just serving in combat. The study focused on combat veterans. But we know that you can serve in the military and never serve in combat and still lose comrades to combat or suicide, because if you trained with someone and they go on – you know them in basic training, and their MOS is to infantry. They may go on.
In fact, we have, hundreds of thousands of soldiers who are stationed in places like South Korea, Japan, and Europe, and so forth.
And so they may not actually engage in combat, but they still bear the toll of losing somebody in combat, and more likely actually losing someone to suicide, because we know that the suicide deaths are not necessarily people who served in combat.
Well, in fact, there are figures, and now we do have these kind of figures. 2017, I think it was part of the UC Irvine study, 58% knew a veteran who died by suicide, and 65% knew at least one fellow veteran who had attempted suicide. So those numbers are pretty startling and pretty, in many ways, inspiring to do something to reckon with them. But we're also talking about individual lives, of course, and as Pauline pointed out, the effects on communities and the effects on families are also almost immeasurable. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Let me open the phone lines, and not only thoughts you might have about this, because it is, I believe, a real public health crisis in many ways and something that needs to be reckoned with on this Veterans Day, but also any questions you might have for her, since she was at the center of this study, and also some personal narratives about grief and serving for the U.S. military in whatever fashion. We certainly welcome your calls and welcome your emails. If you're a veteran, do you know a veteran who has struggled with grief? Let me put it that way. And if you do, give us a call and let us know what you know. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. You can join us at that number now. We welcome your involvement. 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions or comments or narratives you may want to tell us about to forum@kqed.org. And do we have any stopgaps? Do we have any prophylactics that we have come to in terms of people who are borderline here and suicide? I mean, you know, I know people who have manned and women those suicide hotlines, and, you know, the stories are often ones of trying to deal with grief and trying to just get people to talk about their grief, you know, the talking therapy and so forth. But from your studies, has there been anything else that specifically relate to veterans?
You mean in terms of addressing grief?
Yeah.
Well, again, I am not a clinician, but not that I know of that there's a specific focus on grief. Now, clinicians might call in and tell me that I'm wrong. I know that the veterans I interviewed, most of them had never talked to anybody about their losses. And as you also might imagine, it was very difficult even to find 28 veterans willing to talk about it. The way I tried to find people was one veteran I would ask them to refer other veterans. And the veterans that I did talk to were...
But this was national.
This was a national. And so Some of them were in California. I did not interview anybody in the Bay Area. I was down in Irvine at the time. But my point being that I don't know that there are crisis lines that specifically focus on grief. I don't know if clinicians are...
Does the VA offer anything specific?
Grief counseling? Not that I know of. I think it's starting to become more of the conversation. But again, for the veterans that I interviewed, no one had ever asked them about it, either those who were at visiting the VA and those who weren't.
It just wasn't talked about. It was like a verboten almost or something.
Well, it's either verboten or we don't think about it. There's a concept called unacknowledged grief. And I think, I don't know why. I mean, I know I used to work in journalism. And when I covered funerals, I confess, I would focus on the mother and the child and the spouse. It never occurred to me that somewhere in the shadows and somewhere in that crowd were the people who were there with the person when they died or felt the grief over the person having died by suicide. And so all of us bear responsibility for not acknowledging this grief. And I'm hoping that this starts a conversation about that. I'm hoping that next Memorial Day someone says, let's acknowledge the grief in the veterans who lost people in war, not just their I don't want to minimize, of course, the family loss.
This is why we're bringing it to public attention, and we do have some people who want to weigh in here. Let me begin with Tanya. Tanya, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Yes, good morning. So I was actually calling to talk about female veterans, but this is actually kind of more appropriate to my experience. I was in the Army for 7.5 years and as a mortuary affairs specialist. And so not only did I was I a soldier who lived and worked with soldiers, but I also cared for dead soldiers when things like combat accidents or combat injuries or suicides happened. And soldiers that are, seamen, Marines, everyone, we're given a lot of information about, reaching out and calling somebody, but not really given, I don't know, the tools to manage grief, to say, like, I'm hurting because my best friend died. And often when you're in the military, your best friend knows you way better than your spouse or your family, because these are the people that you live with, you work with, you eat with them. You're there. And like for suicide, I know in my experience, what I saw was the increase of suicides when we were deployed because, in the old days, men would get a letter in the mail, 6 months later after their wife had left them and things like that had happened. And now you see everything in real time, you see your life crumbling back home. And I mean, it happened to me. Where everything changes and you have no real way to take care of those things except for just to shut it all in and just keep going with the mission and just soldier on, I guess. So when we got back into our duty station after we had suffered a lot of casualties, the soldiers that were suffering from grief and loss turned it all inward, and there were a lot of discipline problems. And hold on a second.
That's okay, Tanya. you have your other duties besides your former military duties.
Yeah, I'm a happy mom in San Francisco. Yeah.
But you've actually given us, I think, a good kaleidoscopic view of what you had to deal with, and I'm grateful for your call. Thank you for it. Let me hear from some other listeners, and let me go next to you. Martin, you're on. Morning.
Hey, thanks. This is a great topic, especially, today, Veterans Day. I'm a Vietnam-era vet. Certainly have seen, a whole level of people die and friends die over these years, suicide and everything else. But I do know what I wanted to at least say was that there's a huge difference between depression, and anxiety, type depression versus despair. And I've seen how once it crosses the line into despair, it's not one of those things where you feel like calling anybody. You don't even care about the person sitting next to you, whether you're driving a vehicle or not, or whether you have a weapon in your hand or not. It's the despair aspect that really is critical to understand when it comes to suicide. And anyway, like I said, I've personally experienced it, and and it is a tough thing to see.
Martin, is it behind you? Can I ask you directly? Is it behind you?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Congratulations on that, and I'm hopeful that it will remain that way. Thank you for your call. He's talking about something. I'm using a word here maybe advisedly, but it's oceanic what we're talking about. I mean, it just takes over the human being.
And I think he makes a good point about the despair, and this is what I guess I meant when I was referring to unacknowledged or unaddressed grief. So there is a difference between depression, anxiety, PTSD, and grief, and they have literally different measures that clinicians can use, but they also they manifest themselves differently. And my feeling about grief is that because we don't talk about it as much, the good news is, again, that veterans are pre-deployment, post-deployment screen for PTSD, and there's been, since the war in Afghanistan began, there's been so much literature published on the risk for PTSD and how we can address it.
And addiction and homelessness.
Right.
I mean, the problems that veterans suffer from, but this is a problem that veterans suffer from.
So grief is different from all of those, and the not acknowledging it leads to the despair that he was talking about. And
doesn't have to lead to it, but it can.
And
even melancholy and just pensiveness that sometimes people have that they carry with them, and the kind of immobility that he was alluding to as well. Let me bring one more caller in here, and that's you, Jim. You're on.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. And thank you for having the subject today. I'm a veteran Vietnam era. But I found that it's important for people to, if you know veterans and they seem to be disappearing where you're not seeing them, to go visit them. I've spent numerous occasions where I've come in and they've got all the windows drawn or covered in their trailer, and they're sitting on a couch with a 357 by them, wondering if this is the day. And if you sit there with them, and just engage them that at least for that day, it's not the day. And I recommend, because there's a lot of people that are carrying this grief day in and day out for years. And they're, like the previous caller had mentioned, there's times when it just gets, intolerable. And
I think you're saying something really significant here, Jim, that is, if you care about people and you know they're down like this, you can reach them, or at least try to reach them. In some instances, it may be, difficult, if not futile, but it ought to be at least attempted.
Yeah, and it's not always a comfortable thing for a person to do, but it's a necessary thing. And sometimes it gets somebody through a period that they're having a tough time with, and they come out the other side and they're back in life and productive and serving others.
Jim, thank you for that call. Important call. I'm glad to hear from you. Let me hear from John next. John, you're on.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you. Great program. I attend meetings with Mideast veterans, who come back with PTSD, and I'm a Vietnam-era veteran and also a recovering alcoholic, and most of them are recovering from drugs and alcohol. And 15, 20 guys in a meeting, and every once in a while we lose one. And the common denominator that I get from them is the horror that they have been through and cannot stop remembering. And
the horror reminded me of, it's like Heart of Darkness. You come out of that darkness, and you don't really come out of it in many instances, because you've seen your fallen comrades, as we're saying. Yeah.
And to think about, you have to go back to that, and experience that horror over and over again. And that's our leader's fault, because we don't have a draft. We had a draft in Vietnam. It was different. One tour. We did one tour.
Yeah.
You raise a very important issue because one of the risks for suicide is a concept called moral injury, and that's really what you're describing. Moral injury is witnessing or taking part in tragic circumstances that violate at your core your moral center. And so there can be a lot of moral injury in war, not for everybody. But what you're describing is moral injury, and it is known to be a risk for suicide. In my study, even though there were themes that were focused on, veterans said that suicide death was unexpected and harder to accept, and combat death was expected and might be a little easier to accept. One of the emerging themes for suicide risk was moral injury, And then the other one was also an emerging theme of returning home without a sense of purpose. And I think some of what you're describing touches on that. And so, yes, reaching out and acknowledging the grief. And not just – not everyone has PTSD. Some people come home without PTSD but are suffering terrible grief.
Pauline Lubitz, let me thank you, and thank you for the work you've done here. Appreciate very much your being with us. I've been talking with Pauline Lubitz, policy analyst for the Institute for Veteran Policy at San Francisco-based Swords to Plowshares, about our new study on veterans and grief. Stay tuned.